Good morning, church. Hey, about halfway through the first set of songs, I was ready to just come up here and preach because it was like everything happens for a reason and God has a hand in it. And then Paul gets up and gives a devotion. We can go home. Julie was back to frustration with me because Friday she texted me, "Got anything for the message?" "Nope," was my response. You know, at the time, I thought I did. And it was Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. You know, we had some young men baptized last week, and I thought, you know, we could go into living in a Christian household, blah, 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 and then we could lead with the armor of Christ. So I didn't tell her that. And I'm glad I didn't, because Paul touched on it. If you want to know more, man, Ephesians is a great book. Today, we're going to, the title I guess we'll call it is, Can I Out-Sin God's Grace? Now, there's been many debates whether Christians are predestined. And I'm not telling you we're predestined. I'm telling you God chose us. God chose us. But predestined to me means no matter what I do, it doesn't matter if I have a relationship with Christ or not, He pre-chose me. I'm going to heaven. Guys, that's not the case. That's not the case. We're going to get into this. We're going to pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before You and Lord, how the whole service has just fallen into place and just everything that I thought You were telling me You wanted me to bring out has already been brought out through the song choices, through Paul's devotion. Lord, I'm glad I listened. Lord, I'm glad You laid this message on my heart, and I'm glad we can talk about it today and learn from people that came before us in the Bible. Historically correct. Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. So, man, it's going to take me a minute now because I lost my little... My Bible has things called myths. And this was pretty cool. The one that God pointed me to. I had my notes in it and I just pulled them out. I'll find it. Anyway, we talked a little while ago about grace. Anybody remember what we said grace was? Anybody want to take a guess at what grace is? Getting what I don't deserve. Guys, it's a present with no obligation. We don't have to do anything for God's grace. He gives it freely. Man. Well, okay. I'm almost there. That was pretty cool. Anyway, it was a myth, and it went on about how this guy was a terrible sinner and how this guy felt unworthy of God's grace. And I think the title of it was Can I Out-Sin God's Grace? And it told about all the bad things he had done, you know, committed adultery, divorced his wife, whatever. Guys, I'm here to tell you there are people in this Bible that have done things worse than what we could ever do. But they were given God's grace, and they understood God's grace. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles. It's chapter 2. No, it's chapter 33, sorry.
2 Chronicles.
Chapter 33. We're going to talk about a king, and his name was Manasseh. Chapter 33. Manasseh, king of Judah. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. Cain, I know I've used 12 years old before, right? Abby was now 13, but at the time she was 12. So now, can you imagine Abby being the queen or the king? She wouldn't be the king, but a 12-year-old boy being king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following detestable practices of the nations of the Lord that the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. Guys, here's what I want you to understand. Before the Israelites came into play, these kingdoms were all separate. They had their own beliefs, they had their own laws, they had their own things, whatever the king deemed necessary. Or whatever he wanted, basically. And there was some terrible laws in there. This dude was not a very good person. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry host and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry host. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben Hinnom. What? Listen, if you didn't hear any of this other stuff because you don't understand what goes on in the temple at that time, that's fine. Hear this. He sacrificed his children in the fire. Practiced divination and witchcraft. Sought omens and consulted mediums and spiritualists. How much evil he did! Much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. So eventually, God said, "You know what? Enough's enough. Enough's enough." He took the image he had made and put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites leave the land I assigned to your ancestors. If only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them, commanding the laws, decrees, and regulations given through Moses." But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord then spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Guys, our world we live in right now, we don't pay a lot of attention to God. We may on Sunday mornings pay attention to what God wants, and we may try to go out Sunday afternoon and say, "Okay, this is what God wants me to do." What happens the rest of the week? You know, I don't even watch the news anymore because I can't. I can't deal with it. When I see the other people, and I'm not even talking about government here, I'm just talking about people in general, have such an abandoned loss of what life means. And guys, you know, in Morrow County, we don't have a high murder rate. But it's not very doggone far from us. We do have a problem in Morrow County. We commit a lot of sins in Morrow County. I'm not even going to go there. But the world is trying to swallow us here, guys. We have a free present. We have the free present that God gave us. Verse 11. This is what's coming. This is what, you know, the Lord takes it for so long. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with a bronze shackle, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Guys, why do I bring this crazy dude? Because he was a crazy man. Why do I bring him up? Even after all those things he had done to his people, even after all the desecration he had done to God's temple, even after all the beliefs he had spread that were not what God taught. God taught what? The Ten Commandments at that point. You follow the Ten Commandments and the rules I gave to Moses. But even after all this other stuff Manasseh did, when he turned around, when he repented, God saw purpose for him. God sees a purpose for each and every one of us. I hope that it doesn't have to come to that for us to see God's grace. But guys, there are times in our lives when we just don't listen. And I've told you this before. When I get into that stage in my life where I'm not listening, man, it takes a sledgehammer to correct me. And that hurts. But for this guy, for Manasseh, it took, you know, I can't imagine this, a ring in your nose to be led around by with a chain. Ouch. Guys, my prayer is that we do not have to go through that kind of pain to come back to God's grace. But my prayer is also that you understand that no matter how far you've fallen from God's grace, you can get back to it. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from the ways that you're currently living and get back into God's way of living. Let's go to 1 John. I didn't pre-mark them because I wanted to make sure everybody had time to get there. 1 John is almost to the end. First John, written by the Apostle John. Dude had a pretty good working knowledge of what Jesus was about. 1 John chapter 1. We're only going to do one verse here. It's verse 9. Guys, this is the ultimate way to get to God's grace. Right here in one verse, it lays it out. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. We're going to break that down because it does take an act of us. It takes an act of us to confess our sins. Sometimes we don't like to do that. Guess what? God already knows your sin. God already knows your sin. It's not the fact that you're shocking God by telling him what your sin is. But God wants you to understand the procedure of, I confess my sin, I get total forgiveness. If I keep brushing it under the rug and don't confess it, I'm never going to be forgiven of it. Okay? And we can try to live a good Christian life, but if we have sin in our lives, anybody here not have sin in our lives? Yeah. Guys, we are sinners. Me, Matt, everybody, we are sinners. And I think sometimes we think, well, but I'm a bigger sinner than the rest of those guys. And I'm glad that's you, Patsy, not me. There is no bigger sin than sin is sin. But we all have a checklist, right, in our mind of sins that we think are just abominable. Okay? Guy commits murder. Guy does stuff with kids. Is that the same as me stealing a 35-cent pack of gum? Sin is sin. Now, I'll tell you why those small sins are dangerous. Because we think they're no big deal. But we don't think we need to confess those sins, right? I tell a little white lie, doesn't hurt anybody. Sin is sin. You know, I may get caught with a great big sin, but it's no different than me having that little white sin that I swept under the rug. Because if I don't confess that sin, it's no different than me not confessing this sin. And when I say confess, you don't have to tell the community about it. Right here is all you need. This is all you need. I pray for everyone in here because I know we're all sinners. I don't need to know what your sin is. Only he knows what your sin is. And guess what? He knew it when he was hanging there on the cross. That is pretty cool. That is probably the coolest thing about our God and about the Christianity that I can ever think of is before I was even a thought, Jesus hung on the cross knowing sins I was going to commit 2,020 years later. Huh? Our Savior was on the cross 2,000 years ago, approximately, and was thinking about me and the sins I was going to commit in my life. And he did it anyway. He did it anyway. So that's a great verse. 1 John 1, verse 9. But not only will he forgive us our sins, he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Guys, understand, when you confess a sin, anybody have a situation where they've went and said, apologized? Somebody asked, like, confess this sin. You apologized to one of your friends? Or were you the person that got apologized to? And you did not? You said, okay, great. But there was no real forgiveness? Guys, that's not the way this works. When you confess your sins to our Lord, you are completely righteous again. He doesn't keep track. He doesn't bring it back up 10 years from now when you have an argument. He purifies us from all unrighteousness. That's pretty cool. That's one of those verses that, man, if you don't... I'm not a big memorization guy. I can tell you where a lot of things are in the Bible. I'm not a big memorization on verses, but that's one you need to get under your hat. Because so many times we feel like we can't get back to God's grace. Guys, you can. It can be done. Some other verses you could use, some other passages. I probably don't have time to get to them all today. But, you know, 2 Samuel, story of David. I've preached on it before. You know, this dude had favor in God's eyes. And then he committed some terrible sins. But he confessed them. And he's one of the people in the Bible that God really, really showed his favor for. And then David just was a bozo. He was a bozo. Another one, you know, we talked about this. You could use Ephesians chapter 3 through Ephesians chapter 6. Today we're going to use Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. So if you can go to Ephesians with me. A couple books to your left. And it says a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immensely more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. You know, as this was being written, there was a plan for the people of that time, and God was using the writer here to say, it's through me. It's through God, through me, that all things are possible. You can't do anything. And I love the one set of words where it says, that you may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and how long and how deep is the love of God. Guys, if I ask you how big is the love of God, what do you say? Here, my response is, it's immeasurable, because I can't grasp just how big God's love is. It's hard enough for me to grasp how much God loves the earth today. But then it blows my mind when I go back to him on that cross and saying a prayer for me right there. Forgive them, they know not what they do. Guys, he wasn't just talking about the Romans there. I think he was talking about us today. Telling his Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. That's God's grace. Uh-oh. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. I'm almost done. I'll get there. We're going to use one verse again. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can I outsin God's grace? Years ago, He did it for you that day. So can you outsin God's grace? No. Can you fall out of God's grace? You can walk away from God's grace. You cannot sin yourself out of God's grace, but you can walk away from God's grace. How do you do that? You walk away from God's grace when you hide those sins, when you don't confess those sins, when you leave something on the table every day that needs to be just turned over. Guys, we can't do it. Luckily, we have someone who can. And He's done it in people's lives repeatedly. He will continue to do it in people's lives until the whole world has been reached with the gospel. Do I know when that day's coming? No. I tell you, I believe it's coming pretty quick. Do not wait till tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And it's really literally as simple and sitting down in a quiet place and saying, God, and I'm a terrible sinner. I'm a terrible sinner. You know all the things in my life that are creating walls for me being whole with You. And here are sins I've committed. It's just that simple. You will be back in the righteous when you're done with that prayer. Now you gotta believe that. That's easy to say. You know, Rick and Seth took a step last week that they, you know, really wanted to show their outwards love for Christ by going into the waters of baptism. And, you know, I've seen a lot of baptisms. I've performed a few baptisms. The coolest thing in the world happened last week. So I'm up there holding the mic trying not to fall in and be three people baptized. And I see Seth come up out of the water, and the first thing I see is he does this. And he was excited. And I know that was not something that he pre-hearsed or he... Man, that was God and Seth's emotion. And that was Seth knowing, man, I am saved. And that was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. Because He's there for us all the time. 365, 24/7. You know, Matt and Les sometimes, I know Matt doesn't sleep. Les gets up at like 2:30 in the morning and goes and sits with his Bible and stuff, and get up about 7. But I've learned a lot from these guys, because you know what? I don't need to sleep. I need that relationship. And when I'm able to do that and be committed to, if I say 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get up and do it, I can tell a difference. I can tell a difference. It's been kind of nice here lately because of my new route. I can take a half hour lunch and, or an hour lunch, and I can just sit in my car and people probably think I'm wacky. They probably think I'm having a heart attack and dying because I'm in prayer and I have my Bible that's in my car out and I'm in prayer and thought with Jesus. People probably think I'm having a heart attack. I'm surprised somebody hadn't knocked on my window. You okay in there? Because then when I'm done talking, I turn the radio on and I praise, and it's not a pretty sight. Or a pretty sound. Guys, there's only one person that can love you like your mama. It's the guy that died on the cross. And there's only one person. My mom used to tell me I had a great singing voice. She lied. See, I didn't even go there with Shelby. I said, Shelby, don't sing. Sing when you're by yourself, please. Praise God by yourself. Because Jesus thinks it's a joyful noise, I just hear a lot of screeching. I pick on Shelby, but guys, God's grace makes the sound that comes out of me sound like beautiful music to my God. And that's pretty cool. Because when it leaves my mouth, it's not pretty, I'm telling you. Last scripture I'm going to use today is going to be Psalms 51. You know, and I've been reading a lot, and not a lot, but I've been reading Psalms quite a bit, just because I know when these were written, there was something for every occasion in here. If you're feeling despair, it's in here. If you're feeling that you're a sinner and you're past that, it's in here. If you're feeling that you want to just praise God, it's in here. Psalm 51. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, is when this was derived. So this is a psalm of forgiveness, a psalm of guilt, a psalm of sin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from blood guilt, O God, you who are my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, and burnt offerings offered whole. and bulls will be offered on your altar. That's what David's saying there. Saying, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. I have fallen short. But I know the way back, and it's through you. I mean, I could have said it in six verses probably, David. I wouldn't have to sing the whole song. I'm broken. I sinned. Come and take it away. Wash me with and make me white as snow. Speaking of snow, it's coming. And there's one time that snow is going to be pure and white, and that's the first day it falls, right? And when you look out, it's kind of pretty. But then as it gets more and more and more, it's like, yeah, I'm done with snow. It's dingy, it's ugly, it's... But then what happens? Every night, we get a new, fresh coating of pure white snow. That's how I want you to think of your Christianity. Man, when I go to confess my sins to God, I get that pure white dressing, and I am dressed like an angel. We don't fully understand God's grace because we aren't that smart. Guys, here's what you need to know. He did that and was thinking of you. That's grace. That's grace. The present you do not deserve and you cannot return. You can't ever give that back. Well, you can give it back by walking away. But it's always there if you come back. It's always there. God's not going to forget about you if you turn away from Him. Sometimes in Christianity, we make it, I'm just not good enough. No, you're right. We are not good enough on our own. We cannot stand up to this world on our own. We have to have God's grace, God's forgiveness, the whole package. And when we get that whole package, we've got to do something with it. Don't hide it. If you got a brand new white shirt, you hiding that under black clothes? Guys, you have a brand new white shirt, go out and show it off. God's grace is enough. And again, these songs that were sung today, you know, I'm a firm believer in God leads silly people like Matt in the direction He wants him to go. If I'm listening and hear it. And as I was sitting there listening to the songs, and I'll Fly Away, it's pretty cool. All four of those songs, even the song we sung for the offertory, hit home with me. And Paul's lucky he got to get up, because I was ready, man. I was ready to leave my seat and come right on up. When God shows you how good things can be by the way He does things, and why do we ever want to go away from it? God's grace is always enough. With that, I'm going to close this up in prayer. Then the praise team will be here. We'll offer a time of invitation if you want to come forward and start your relationship with Christ. If you want to come forward and renew your relationship with Christ. If you need prayer. If you have praises. You know, we're supposed to be out of here by 11:30, but guess what? If we got a bunch of praises, I don't think there's one person in this church who's going to complain because we're not out of here till noon. Our God is great. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You that Your grace is enough. You take a simple sinner like me and You cover me from head to toe and make me righteous. Lord, as a church, we are not perfect, but we are striving every day to be better for you, Lord. And we confess and we throw all our sins down at your feet, Lord, and we know that you cover them. Lord, if there's anybody out there today that wants to begin that relationship and that walk with you, just make that walk easy. Make that walk easy for them to come forward and to express their desires of their heart, Lord. We love seeing new Christians, but even more than that is we love to see the growth of new Christians because of your grace. We just love you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.